Today on Bold Steps, how to find contentment in marriage.
I am convinced that contentment is a choice that you can make today. I am convinced that you can walk out of this auditorium with not one single part of your situation change, but yet your attitude and your heart change so that you can be content.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Today we're discussing the secret of contentment both in and out of marriage, Mark, and how to live happily ever after, huh?
Yeah, happily ever after.
Did you love that?
Well, Wayne, I talk to some singles and they say if I were just married, then I would be content.
I know, I heard that too.
And then I talk to some married couples that tell me if I were just single again, then I would be content.
Yeah.
And others that say if I just could marry another person, I would be content. So today we'll be focusing on principles for singles and married couples on what it takes to be truly content.
All right. Finding contentment is our message. Here's Mark Jobe.
I heard a story a while back about a couple that was in to see a counselor because the wife was really struggling with discontentment and depression in their marriage. And so they sat down with the counselor and had a long conversation. And basically it came out that the counselor looked at the man and said, you know, part of her problem is she just needs a little TLC, a little encouragement. And he said, well, doc, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, let me show you. And so he told the wife to stand up and he went over and he gave her the counselor gave her one big long hug. And he said, see, that's what she needs twice a week, just two or three times a week. The husband looked at him and said, okay, doc, pull out your calendar. Let's see what days you're open next week. You see, sometimes people just don't get it. As we look at this passage in Philippians chapter 4, it's really about the secret of contentment, we could call this. We're going to discuss today the secret of contentment in and out of marriage. You may be here today and maybe you've never been married. Maybe you're not married yet. Maybe you're married but divorced. Maybe you've been separated by death. You're a widow. Maybe you are married, only a young married couple. Maybe you've been married for a long time. Everybody here has a status, so to speak. And my goal is not to try to have you change your status. My goal is try to have you discover contentment in whatever situation you are currently in. Because I am convinced, look up at me because this is really, really important. I am convinced that contentment is a choice that you can make today. I am convinced that you can walk out of this auditorium with not one single part of your situation change, but yet your attitude and your heart changed so that you can be content. Amen. I'm convinced of that. You see, what happens when we're discontent is that discontent, a spirit of discontentment makes us want to change something. Makes us want to change. So people switch jobs and they move out of homes and they switch relationships and they change the color of their hair and they move to other places and they paint their bedroom a different color and they switch friends. And because when we're discontent, we just think, if I can only change my circumstances, then finally I'll have a degree of contentment inside. And so there's a lot of people trying to change a lot of things because in their mind they believe that it's their circumstances that are making them discontent. But the truth is that your circumstances only play a small part in determining whether you're content or not. That spirit of contentment, of well-being, of being at peace with ourselves and with God, comes from a deeper place than our circumstances. And the Apostle Paul talks to us about that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Well, what is contentment, you may ask? Well, contentment is a, if you look it up in the dictionary, it'll say the quality or state of being contented. If you look up in Scripture, the word contentment, found especially in this passage, it comes from a Greek word that means self-sufficient or independent. The Stoics, which were philosophers during the times in ancient Greek, they elevated this word. They considered contentment the ability to be free from all wants or needs as the chief virtue of all virtues. But the Stoic philosophy was marked by detachments from one's emotions and indifference to the circumstances of life. In other words, the Stoics believed, and that's where we get the word Stoic from, when someone seems to have no emotions, we say, well, they're Stoic. The Stoics believed that you had to be independent, self-contained, and all the circumstances of life and emotions of life, you needed to sort of ignore them. And that's not what we're talking about today, is just ignoring the emotions that are inside of you and being indifferent or cold. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about contentment is the feeling or showing of satisfactions with one's possessions, status, or situation. I believe that God has called us from the beginning to have a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in Him and also in our relationships. The Apostle Paul was a single man, and as a single man, he was sharing about what he had learned in life. And he basically says in this passage to the Philippians, hey, I've had some good times, I've had some bad times, I've been through some very, very difficult situations. I've been in situations where I had all that I wanted, and I've been in situations where I lacked a lot. But no matter what my circumstances were, no matter whether it was a really, really good day or a really, really bad day, he says, I have learned the secret of being content. And I'm going to read to you Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, here it is, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. So, today, if you're really struggling with discontentment, I want to talk to you, I want to give you three principles that you need to jot down, grasp, in order to be able to start engaging in a spirit of contentment. Contentment is an attitude, it's an attitude that can be learned. Some of us act like we're victims of our circumstances. And you just naturally think, well, of course I'm discontent. If you had a boss like mine, you'd be discontent too. I mean, I could never be content with a boss that's negative, belittling, doesn't recognize my effort. So I have the right to be content. As long as I'm in this circumstance, I cannot be content. Someone else may be here and saying, well, of course I'm discontent and unhappy. Pastor, you don't know. I feel lonely. I'm in my 40s. I'm not married. I look around and there's other people that are in relationships and have a family. And when Friday night comes, they go out on a date and they go back to a family and children. They have a sense of belonging, but I go back to an empty apartment, and of course I'm discontent because I just feel this loneliness as I look around at others and say, well, hey, it must be nice to be able to have someone that you go home with every night, and that must be nice, but I don't have that, so of course I'm discontent. Maybe you're a couple here that's unable to have children, and you say, well, of course I'm discontent because I look around at other people that have baby strollers and they seem so happy with their babies, and Mother's Day comes around and everybody's celebrating, but yet we can't have children, and no wonder I'm unhappy and discontent because I have a longing to have a baby, but I can't have a baby, so of course I'm discontent. The root of discontentment is that we long for something that we don't have yet. And we feel like unless I have that, I cannot be fully happy, content, and satisfied in my life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Your heart struggles with, I want that, but I don't have it. And there's a sense, until I get it, I will not be happy. I will not be content. I cannot be fulfilled. The root of discontentment is exactly that. Now, Paul says in verse 11, he says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You see, what Paul, he changes the equation and he says, it's not about what I have, what I possess, who I'm with, who I'm not with, what my circumstances are. Paul says, contentment, I've learned that I can be content even though my circumstances aren't optimal.
You're listening to Bold Steps with our Bible teacher, Mark Job. This lesson is titled Finding Contentment, and we'll learn more about the biblical changes we can make when we continue the message in a moment. But Mark, our radio program is made possible in part because of faithful contributions from Bold Partners.
That's right, Wayne. In fact, thanks to Bold Partners, we're reaching new listeners across the country and around the world.
Yes.
And some of you have already heard, but we're so excited about broadcasting into Malawi, Africa. And we have been broadcasting there, especially to the Yao people in urban areas. They speak English.
And it's always interesting to me that they listen in groups. Here in the States, we listen privately. You know, we spend our time alone on the radio. They listen in groups.
Yeah, there's 11,000 listening groups that gather around that area. And here's a letter we received from one of the Malawi listeners. And I love this. Listen to this, Wayne. Hi, I'm a regular listener here at Nundi, where 10 of us gather to listen to Bold Steps programs. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that your programs have motivated me and my colleagues to listen and even change our bad behavior.
Oh, good.
Please keep up the good works. Without this program, we would have remained Muslims. The coming in of this program has opened our eyes to many here. Therefore, we urge you to continue giving us such programs, for they are inspiring us, your listener, and then they give their name.
How great is that, huh?
Oh, I love this. I love the fact that someone in Africa is listening to these messages, and we're hearing testimonies from people that are saying, you're exposing me to who Jesus really is. My eyes were blind because of the teaching that I grew up in, and now I'm understanding who Jesus is, and I've surrendered my life.
And it's evidence that your gifts and donations really do make a difference. When you give $30 or more, you'll receive a 50% discount off the purchase of any item in the Moody Publishers catalog, plus a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call. So if you would like to partner with us today and see more results like the one that Mark just shared with us, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Become a Bold Steps partner today. All right, let's get back into today's message from Pastor Mark. It's titled, Finding Contentment.
I heard a story a while back of a man that went to see a Jewish rabbi. He was Jewish himself. He lived in Hungary in a time when there was a lot of economic depression. And he went to see the rabbi, and he complained that his life was unbearable. He said, there's 9 of us living in one room. what can I do? I'm just discontent. There's nine of us packed in one room. These guys are pushing. They're smelly. They leave their socks all over. One guy snores at night. I mean, this is unbearable. Nine people in one room. I cannot be happy. The rabbi looked at him and he said, do you have any animals? He says, well, yeah, we have a couple goats and sheep and a dog. He says, not in the apartment. So he says, I want you to take your goat and bring the goat inside the house to live with you. He says, Rabbi, that just doesn't make any sense. I told you we're already crowded. He said, do it. And then come back and see me in a week. He came back in a week and said, I am more miserable than ever. You told me to bring the goat inside. None of us can stand the goat. The goat stinks. He's going to bathroom inside of the room. He smells everything up. He's chewing on people's socks. I mean, it's gotten even more miserable than the first time I came to see you. This is not working. Then he said, now I want you to go back, and I want you to eliminate the goat from the house and come and see me. He came back 3 days later. He said, we're so happy. Oh, life is beautiful. Man, it's amazing. We're so happy not to live with this goat. Life is radiant. We love it now. You see, what the rabbi was trying to say is that it's all a matter of perspective. Listen to me. Your circumstances may be bad, but I want to tell you, there are people that have worse circumstances than you. You may think things are bad right now and couldn't get any worse, but believe me, they could. And it's all a matter of perspective as to what you consider is a good day. Listen, you may consider it a bad day because you have a headache and because your back is hurting you a little bit and you say, I'm miserable, this is a bad day, I'm unhappy, I'm discontent, and I wish I had a better day. But yet, visit a cancer ward where someone cannot get out of their bed, someone can barely eat, and they have a good day where they can have one meal, and they say, wow, this has been a great day. You see, it's a matter of perspective as to what we consider contentment or discontentment in our life. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I have learned the secret of being content. And it's an attitude that we can learn. Contentment is a learned attitude. Some people think, well, no, it has to come to me. I'm a victim of whether I'm content or discontent. I believe that you can learn to be content. And that's exactly what Paul said. Paul said, I have learned. Learned means that it's an acquired process, that it's something that you train yourself to engage in, that it's something that you don't know. But with training and time, you learn to grasp. I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances. Well, you say, well, where do I sign up for this course on contentment? Well, you don't sign up for that course. Your course is life. You say, well, Pastor, how do I learn it in life? Well, believe me, if you're content right now, your contentment will be tested pretty soon. You will have a trial. You will be disappointed. Something will not work out the way you thought it would work out. There are plenty of circumstances in life that will test your contentment. And so your course is the course of hard knocks, living it out. When difficult times come, you begin to learn that your sense of contentment, that sense of I am doing well within my heart, I'm okay with the way things are, comes from a deeper place than your circumstances. Dr. Henley Cloud, who's a pretty well-known Christian counselor and psychologist in the Christian world, he did some research on the area of happiness. Now, I believe that happiness and contentment are two different things. I believe that happiness is much more elusive. It's emotion that you feel when, hey, you win the lottery. You're happy. The Sox win. You're happy. You get a raise at work. You're happy. You know, that's that emotion that you feel immediately, but it quickly dissipates. That's happiness. It's hard to control that, but contentment you can control. And he discovered in doing research That 10% of happiness was circumstantial. In other words, it depended on your circumstances. Someone was happy because, hey, they got a surprise birthday party that was unexpected, so they're really happy about it. That's circumstantial. He discovered that 50% is temperamental makeup of a person, that some people, as they grow up, have a temperament where they just have a temperament where they tend to see the brighter side of life. I believe a lot of that's learned, by the way. And 40% is life practices. In other words, that a large percent of people's happiness had nothing to do with their temperament or their circumstances, but had to do with the practices they put in place, life practices, to have a spirit of contentment in their life. In other words, you can't control your circumstances. You can't control the temperament that you were born with. But let me tell you what you can control. You can control the way you choose to see life and what you put in practice in life. It's a learned behavior, which leads me to my second point, as the Apostle Paul talks. Contentment is not dependent on our circumstances. Verse 12, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, Paul says, I have learned how to stay content even though my circumstances may change. I have learned the secret of being content. That word for secret is only found here in the New Testament. Nowhere else in the New Testament is that word secret found. Literally, that word secret means initiated in a secret teaching, which is a mystery unknown to the world. It's a mystery to the natural mind, but is revealed through faith and the power of God. In other words, if you are able to grasp this secret, you will have understanding and revelation much more than most of the world out there that does not live with the understanding of this secret. In any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, we could say that any season of our life, we can experience contentment. Because listen to me, contentment is about who I am, is about how I relate to God, an attitude and condition of my soul, independent of my circumstances.
And we'll discover more biblical truth on the secret of contentment when we return for tomorrow's program. You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching ministry of Mark Job, and the first part of a message simply titled, Finding Contentment. If you missed any part of today's segment, or you need to catch up on an earlier message from our new series on marriage called Before and After I Do, just visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. While you're there online, you can also check out other faith-building tools we have available, including a special Bold Steps gift that goes hand-in-hand with our new series. Mark?
In marriage, stagnancy, miscommunication, and distance can all lead to a very painful place. And for many couples, these relational pitfalls have a way of showing up out of nowhere, causing rifts and setbacks in areas we didn't realize we were vulnerable in. But for every marital challenge we may face, God has an answer. And in his book called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, New York Times bestselling author Gary Chapman lays out some fundamental steps that we can all take to bring God's healing hand into our marriages today. We see that even in tough times, we can still find ways to grow and deepen our relationship with our spouse and with God. Look, no one said that marriage would be easy, but if you, your spouse, or someone you know is feeling stuck, well, our Bold Step gift is a resource you won't want to miss. So request a copy of A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
To give and request your copy of A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. If you'd prefer, you can also send your donation in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And before we close today's program, I want to remind you that you can always find these daily messages and listen on your own time by subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast. We've made it easy to catch up on programs you may have missed, or maybe you want to share this lesson with a friend, all with the click of a button. So if you haven't already, just go to your favorite podcast platform, search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and then feel free to leave us a comment and let us know how this ministry has helped you in your own walk of faith. And if you're on social media, be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram for more personal behind-the-scenes look at Bold Steps. Just search for Bold Steps Radio and click the like or follow button. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Mark concludes his message on finding contentment. It's the next part of our new series on marriage called Before and After I Do. Coming up Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.